And now, the Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
We're joined tonight by Pastor William Renneke. In another hour, we'll have R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. Pastor, I wanted to bring you on the show tonight because of the Christmas season. First of all, the very best of the holiday season to you.
I appreciate that very much, Phil, and the very best to you and to your listeners.
And you have a sermon that you're giving the last few weeks called Crisis in Faith that is particularly applicable to this time of season.
The sermon that I'm giving called Crisis in Faith is applicable because I got the last 3 weeks, it came to me, I was reading mail that I had received from members of our congregation. And I received this letter from a young man named Josh Watson. And he wrote to me, he said, Pastor, I'm trying to stay steady in my faith. I'm trying to stay steadfast in my faith. And he said, Pastor, I'm trying to pray to be like Jesus himself, the rock. But he said, it's very hard. At this time of year, it's difficult to stay faithful to God, our Father in heaven, when I think of what he has done. And here, Phil, is the inspiration for Crisis in Faith. The interesting part of this young man's letter, he said, that when Mary became with child, on that blessed occasion that she became with child, the world sang out of joyous praise and celebration because she was carrying the Son of God.
All right.
Except for one man. One man who suffered. Man who suffered a little humiliation on that day. He was a man who was usurped by another, if you will, and that was Joseph.
All right, Joseph, the man who was Jesus' father here on earth.
Well, that was Joseph was not Jesus' father. He was his stepfather. Mary had gone out and become with child, and Joseph had to be still. He had to sit there and take it, because the man that Mary got pregnant by was God Almighty. And there isn't a lot you can do when you're faced with that kind of humiliation.
All right, well, hold on for a minute. You're a man of God.
Without question, yes.
All right. You call this a humiliation. His wife was about to give birth to the Son of God. If you're a Christian, you believe that...
Jesus was the Son of God, absolutely.
All right. Well, why would Joseph be humiliated and not joyous?
Well, I thought about that a very long time, and I prayed very hard and very long on that. I tried to put myself in Joseph's shoes. Then my wife would come to me and say, I'm pregnant. But it wasn't by any man, it's by God. And she said, I'm pregnant by a miraculous conception.
All right.
Now, Phil, imagine your wife comes to you and tells you, I'm pregnant and God made me pregnant. You'd want to have that woman institutionalized, that's number one. And number two, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd go downstairs, I'd start to load up the shotgun shells, birdshot, and I'd go find the man that did that. I'd go and find him, and I'd send him to hell on a shutter. May God forgive me.
All right, well, look.
And may God forgive me. But, you see, that would be my first reaction. But Joseph was a man of such humility, and he loved his wife so much, he sat there and he sucked on it. And to me...
Well, wait. To interrupt you, Pastor, Joseph was Mary's husband.
That is correct, yes.
And he was, in the Bible, they say he was the father of Jesus. Now, all right, I understand what you're saying. He's technically a stepfather. Are you saying that he should have gotten angry?
I am saying, Phil, that it is... in the Bible, we learn that these are men and women who are doing the work of God. And so their reaction, very human. And I wouldn't doubt it at all if Joseph didn't get a little bit bent out of shape.
All right, do you really think the pregnancy of Mary, though, was a humiliation for Joseph?
Well, I want you to think about that. Sit back and think about it. You walking down the street, you're Joseph. Hey, Joseph, I hear your wife is pregnant. It ain't by you. And here's where I prayed and prayed on it. And this is why, praise God, Joseph is beloved of God, and why we look upon him as a singular inspiration. He was so filled with love for his wife.
Hey, Pastor, hold on. You're not preaching, okay?
I understand, but I want you to know, Phil, this was a revelation.
All right, but just calm down. You're not preaching in the... You're just talking... You're just talking on the radio.
All right. But he was filled with such love for his wife, and he was such a decent man. Maybe because when he was younger, he did this to another man. I don't know. You never know. That when he found out his wife went out and got pregnant, he kept his big fat mouth shut, and he sat there, and he sucked on it, and that's humility. That, and I'll tell you something else. There's a man among us who could do that. And I'd act at you.
Wait, if my wife said to me, I'm pregnant, and it isn't your child, probably no.
Probably no. No, for sure. Any man get my wife pregnant, and may God forgive me for what I'm going to say. I pray on this. But if any man got my wife Claire pregnant, I would take my gat, I'd stick him in the ground. My God, forgive me. But Joseph didn't do that.
Well, what exactly is he going to do? If Mary is indeed, and I'm going to give our phone number out, Pastor William Rennick with us from Joyful Union Congregation, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. What exactly is he going to do? If Mary is indeed with child by the Spirit of God, what is it that he's going
to
do?
Well, it's not uncommon for people to be angry with the Almighty, and I think God expects, God knows we are not perfect. And he may get angry with, we may get angry with him, and God would surely expect man to be angry when he finds out that the Almighty himself, you see, God himself knocked up his wife and didn't have the common decency to give the man credit.
And what do you mean he knocked up his wife?
Well, no, I'm using the colloquial term, but God, in essence...
Well, you're saying God knocked up Mary. We are told that this was the Immaculate Conception. If we're to adhere to the spiritual liturgy, correct?
Absolutely.
When you say he knocked up Mary, it sounds a little crude and street.
Well, but again, nobody ever thinks about Joseph on that day that Jesus is born. And the Bible tells us, and I want to look for it right here, Phil. The Bible tells us Joseph, when he saw the child, the one called Jesus, he was reminded of the Almighty visiting this humiliation upon him and resisted the temptation to pick up a harvest tool and spear the child the way you would a hot dog or a smoky link or what have you. Now, one of the things...
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
What? Are you saying that Joseph felt violent toward Jesus?
No, I'm asking you and your listeners to consider. Here is a man whose wife, she got pregnant, one by him. She's with child, it's not his child. And now that child is born. And now that child walking around town, yeah, I'm Jesus, I'm the Son of God. What up? He's in the temple, he's talking. 12-year-old boy talking in the temple. And when Mary said, you got to come home, he said, woman, I'm about my father's business. You might as well have told her, you take that, you can shove it. You imagine she come home, she said, Joseph, you know what Jesus said? And Joseph's gritting his teeth. He said, oh, you mean the kid you had by God, quote unquote? She said, yeah. She said, he told me to go and pound it. I said, well, you know. And so, in other words, Joseph was a man of humility. And I've got to pray on that.
Look, I don't think the Bible says anything about Joseph ever wanting to hurt his son, Jesus. There's nothing in there.
But he must have had feelings of resentment toward Jesus, walking around like he's some big shot. Jesus walking around like a big shot, some snuff-nosed brat, talking in the tail. Everybody tell everybody, hi, I'm God. Man, I tell you, whoa. Well, that takes a pair. You got to have brass. Joseph must have wanted to lash out at that child, but he didn't. He kept quiet, and I suspect it's for two reasons. He loved Mary. And he was a very holy man. And two, because in his younger days he probably was in sin with many women and left his progeny all over the Upper Galilee Valley and parts of Syria. It's the only thing I can think of. And I'm trying to pray on this.
That's a very unusual way of looking at Joseph.
That is what we do at Joyful Union Congregation. Joseph, his wife, pregnant by some other, some other guy.
But it was God.
It was God, but it wasn't his kid. Now God said, here, Joseph, I'm going to make your wife pregnant. It ain't going to be yours, and you got to walk around and like it. Man, I have to pray on that.
Does it make you not have faith in Christmas?
Doesn't make me not have faith in Christmas. Makes me think about God as some kind of a, sometimes, God forgive me for this, it makes me think God's some kind of a wise ass, you know, like, hey, I think what I'll do is go down and make that man, what, pregnant, and he's going to have to sit there and suck on that. And I don't think it's right.
When you say suck on, in other words, God is humiliating that man on purpose.
I don't think God has ill intent, but I think by virtue of his acts, sometimes he come off like a little bit of a smartass. And what I'm saying to you is Joseph had to deal with this.
And we respect Joseph today, if we are Christians, because he was a man of humility.
Man of great humility and great love for this woman, that he never said a word. God, in essence, you know, forgive me, Phil, but God, in essence, just squatted one out right on top of Joseph, and he just smiled right through it. Picking his teeth clean the whole way.
All right, hold on for a minute. Pastor William Reinick, a very interesting man who thinks very, very, I would say, very unconventionally about his faith. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Pastor Reinick about Joseph, the wife of Mary, excuse me, the wife, the husband of Mary, who knew full well his wife was pregnant and not by him, and yet he took it, didn't complain about it. Could have been a very big humiliation, and Pastor Reinick says that even he and all of us, what man among us could handle that humiliation, and even resisted the temptation upon the birth of Jesus to pick up a farm implement and spear the kid with it like a hot dog. 1-800-449-8686. So we respect Joseph because God humiliated him and heaped it all on top of him, and he just smiled right through it, wiping the crap away from his eyes. 1-800-449-8686 as we're visited by Pastor William Reinick tonight on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. God's favorite radio show. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Talking with Pastor William Reinick with Joyful Union. Can you tell me a little bit about your congregation, Pastor, before we get back into what it was you were saying and take some phone calls? How many people in your congregation?
We've got about 850 full-time congregation members. But we've got associate members. We've got a middle school. We've got an elementary school. And we have done some remarkable work in our community, convincing our young people especially to return to the Word of Jesus. But I've got to tell you, this was a young man who wrote me this letter.
And this was a young man, this Josh?
Josh Watson, right. And he said to me, you know, Pastor, I love God, but man, I tell you what, my woman come to me and said, God made me pregnant. Man, I'd want to hurt someone. I'd want to hurt myself. I'd want to hurt something. I'd want to hurt an animal. Small child, something. I got to thinking about that. How did Joseph feel about that? He must have felt like God, and forgive me, and God forgive me, he must have felt like God did a number two on his head. And I will tell you...
All right, again, you have to be a little careful with the way you phrase things.
I'm just saying that this is what the Holy Ghost is telling me to say. See, I'm not trying to offend you, I'm saying... And when I speak only...
Okay.
...through the Holy Ghost.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mary, go ahead. Mary?
Yes.
You're on the air, Mary, with Pastor William Reinick.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
I disagree with what you're saying because during that time, the Hebrew people knew and understood the way of the Messiah, and the women kept themselves for that, and the Lord, excuse me, went to Joseph, and told him, and he accepted that because this is, they waited for this, they hungered for this,
are you all right,
they prayed for this.
I don't think she's okay.
No, you're just coughing, right, Mary? You okay?
Yeah, my throat is just dry because the air is dry. I'm driving in the car.
Air is very dry. Where are you right now, dear?
I'm in Manchester.
Manchester, New Hampshire?
Oh, yes.
Have they got any black people up there?
You have got a lot of black people up here.
I'm just kidding around. Mary, I want you to know that I agree with what you're saying. But I'm looking at it from a man's point of view.
You're looking at it in the flesh, you see, and you got to let go of that.
And
if you're going to claim to be in the spirit, then you need to look at it from the spirit aspect.
Don't you think
which
that?
Is knowing the spirit of the Lord never touched any sexual part of that woman's body.
Well, now, come on.
But the spirit injected into her womb God's word, his literal word, which manifested and became flesh and dwelt among us. It says in John 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God.
Right.
God himself
right.
came in the flesh.
If you look
the
at
only
Matthew,
part Mary was mother
Matthew
to was the flesh part. The woman was
the
door for God
the child
to come into
the room.
All right, hold on, everybody.
Shed his blood
hold on.
For the redemption of sin.
Hold on, everybody. So Mary is quoting, I think it's Matthew, right, Mary?
Right. No, she was quoting John.
I'm quoting John.
Matthew.
John 1.
And she's talking about how it ought to be. But I'm talking about how it is. And let me tell you
I'm talking about how it is.
Way a man feels when
his
woman comes to
word.
Him and says to him, I'm pregnant and it ain't yours. Man, I want to get myself a farm implement.
They were expecting this. They waited each generation for this. They hungered for this. They prayed for this continuously without ceasing.
No, you look at it from a woman's point of view. I'm telling you about a man. A man is going to hear his wife say,
woman,
I'm with child.
Well,
is it mine?
Because
I got to tell you that. And then that baby comes out right.
In the spirit,
right,
you can't
on.
Keep going back to the flesh. Because
right,
if you
this,
do,
Mary.
You're going to miss the spirit.
Right, hold on.
I want to say one thing, Phil. Joseph and Mary were both of dark skin. They were Galileans. They were Palestinian. And they were dark-skinned people. Now, we know that Jesus...
I don't care what color they are.
Now, hold on for a minute.
Blood is red. I don't care what color the skin is.
Mary, you got to let him finish.
Now, Jesus, you got to... See, she's coughing on purpose to try to keep me from saying...
No,
the word
I'm
of God.
Not.
She's got the devil. That's the devil speaking to her. She's going,
no.
Because I'm trying to say what God wants, and
Christians,
the devil is jagging her up.
Make statements like that and
no,
claim to be in the spirit.
All right, hold on.
If someone's coughing, I'm coughing because my throat is dry. It has nothing to do with the devil. It has nothing to do.
And everyone knows the Lord of the Flies. The Lord of the Flies, which is the devil, is jagging you up.
You know
and
what? It's that attitude that turns off people from looking and seeking after
Mary
the Lord.
Mary and Joseph were black, and yet Jesus popped out white. Ain't that going to piss a man off? Yeah. And what I'm saying is...
So wait a minute. Every Jesus popped out white.
Oh, my God.
No, well, all right. She doesn't understand.
All right.
Oh, my God. What I understand is that you are now going into the flesh color.
No, I'm saying
and
everybody knows.
And there is neither male nor female. There is neither black or white in the spirit.
Oh, get out of here.
We're
you didn't know the dark kids of Jesus was a girl.
We're all the same
are
race.
Are you trying to say his
you
name was Jessica Christ?
And you
right.
take a donkey, you can get a baby
a
from them, but they're always born sterile.
Hey,
why? Because they're not reproduced after their own kind.
No,
but
not,
you take
I'm
a black
so
man
low.
And a white woman, you will always have reproduction
I
coming. Why?
So
because
as to bring the donkey show into this the way he did.
All right. You guys are not listening to each other, okay?
Well, she laughed. She's bringing up donkey shows. She's bringing up all these things in the flesh. And
because
I'm talking
you're
about
bringing up the flesh.
Donkey
bringing
shows.
Up color.
She brought up a mule or something.
All right.
And it has absolutely nothing
Mary,
to do
Mary, thank you.
With.
Thank you. 1-800-449-86. And you, Pastor, I think you need to listen a little bit. And
I apologize, Phil. I appreciate so very much you bringing me on your program. And I apologize so very much. But I feel so strongly that I love God.
I believe you.
I love God. You have to understand, I'm always looking at these hard questions. How am I going to feel? Joseph, I'm pregnant. Is it mine? No. Oh, swell. See, that I don't know.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Pastor William Rennick joins us from Joyful Union Congregation on what must have been going through Joseph's mind when his wife is pregnant by some other entity and he has to live through what the pastor calls this humiliation. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty.
Mary,
the Phil Henry Show is back.
Your wife.
I'm talking with Pastor William Renick of Joyful Union Congregation, and I know your wife, Clara. She's been on our show a couple of times. But both of you are in your 40s, right?
In our 40s, but you have to understand something, Phil, that God made. God made in the original, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. God made all things possible for the Hebrew people. God made Sarah, who'd been barren, with child. I'll tell you right now, Clara, my wife, 47 years old, she come to me and says, God, given me a baby. I'd love her and I'd hate her. I'd want to kiss her and I'd want to hit her. Because...
why?
Because it ain't mine.
Well, how do you know a man can have children?
I had a vasectomy back in 1991 as the result of a way of life that was so desolate, so disreputable, and so low. I had to have a vasectomy. Now she'd come to me and say, I'm with child. And then I'd say, who? And she'd say, God. Oh, man, I want to do something bad. And I think that's what Joseph wanted to do.
But you're saying Joseph wanted a speared baby Jesus with a farm implement.
I'm saying that would be my temptation. To go ahead and pick up a sieve or maybe one of those, I don't know, something that they used to... something you can use to prune the hedges with. And
okay, but the fact of the matter is that the kid was Jesus, and today as a Christian you must obviously recognize his divinity and so worship him.
I do, but I also feel for Joseph, because all the people are happy about it. Joseph's sitting in the middle, having to eat that. And I mean he's having to eat it and smile. A big dew sandwich, and he's taking a bite for all of us.
Let me go over to Latina. Hi, Latina. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Pastor Renick.
Yes.
Go ahead, Latina.
I would like to say that I believe that Joseph was as handpicked as Mary was by God. He was chosen to raise the baby Jesus, and when the angel came to Joseph, just as the angel came to Mary, and told Joseph that Mary was with child and that it was a child of the Holy Spirit, he believed what the angel said. It's called faith. And he walked it according to this. And every time that, like when Herod was searching for the baby Jesus to kill him, the angel didn't come to Mary. He came to Joseph and told Joseph to take the baby and go. And when Herod died, he came to Joseph and said, you can take the baby back to Jerusalem now. He communicated with Joseph. Joseph believed that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit.
See, first of all, that's the way you buy a simple-minded man off. You say, hey, let me let you in on all of this. See, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make your wife pregnant, but you can do all this stuff. See, in other words, you say, I make your wife pregnant, you're the guy got to take the kid and hide in the bush with him. See what I'm saying? Now, just because the angel come to Joseph and tell him this don't mean Joseph is liking it.
Well, I believe that Joseph was...
He might have sat there
and
said, yes, sir.
He accepted it,
no,
and it was faith, and you have a very simple and evil mind to...
Oh, no, ma'am. I'm a pastor. I don't believe in God Almighty,
I
but
don't care
you have to understand,
you don't believe it.
If you're a man and your wife and the baby pops out white, man, you want to poke it like a marshmallow.
No.
And,
wait a minute.
No, you do, and Anna, there's nothing wrong with that.
Not if you are in communication with God. If
well, you may be in communication with God, but then the line
God,
might be busy.
Believe it. It's called faith, Reverend. Do you have faith?
Of course I've got faith, ma'am.
Well,
I'm trying to look
then
at this through the eyes of Joseph. And it's rumored the reason God was going to Joseph is because Mary might have had a drinking problem. God worried that she dropped the kid. You see what I'm saying?
No, I don't follow you at all.
Well, ma'am, I'm the one that's up there preaching. And
what do you mean she had a drinking problem?
Who had a drinking problem?
Mary did. The mother of God.
Mary had a drinking problem?
Yes, ma'am. She was a little bit next to a jug. And the Lord wanted Joseph to make sure that the baby was cared for.
Well, I don't
Mary
know
was running out of Jerusalem.
You're reading.
With like a hair on fire. She dropped that kid on the pavement. Man, he bust open like a ripe egg. Now, Herod wanted to kill all the children. How do you know Joseph hadn't gone to him and said, look, I got a problem.
Wait a minute. What are you saying now, that Joseph conspired with Herod?
I don't know. If it was me, I might have.
He doesn't know anything.
If it was me, I might have poked that kid.
He shouldn't even be a minister.
Well, you know something? I'm a reverend. I would have. Okay, fine. But that kid would be like a s'more between two graham crackers and a...
Let me go on to another call here. 1-800-44. Because everything you're saying here has to do with violence against an infant, whether it was God or not.
No, I'm saying...
No, you're saying that it would be totally understandable if Joseph was so humiliated by the fact that his wife, quote, got knocked up by God and not him, that he'd want to poke the kid with a farm implement and conspire with the Herod to have all the kids killed.
It's possible.
Sure, it's possible. Anything's possible. This is the thing about conspiracy theories, Reverend, that I hate. Nobody presents evidence. They just say, hey, isn't it possible that the moon is made out of green cheese? But they never present any evidence.
I'm presenting evidence by nature, by virtue of the fact that I'm a man. And
no, that's not enough evidence.
I'm a man. The man come to me and God said, I want to make your wife pregnant. Man, I'd be all over. I'd go wild all over him.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. David, go ahead.
William? That's your name, right, William?
Yes, sir. It's William Rennick.
All right, William. Well, I am a man. You spoke to two women. If God came to me and told me he wanted to, my wife to carry his child and it's going to be the savior of all men, I wouldn't want to kill that child.
Wait
I wouldn't
a minute.
Be,
how
I
you
see,
know
no, you, no,
how
like,
you know that God?
William, you let me make
how do you
my
know
point.
That God talking
William,
to you?
All right.
Let me make my point, and then I'll let you make yours.
Absolutely.
Give me my time, and I'll give you your time.
I think that's
understood?
Fair. I think
you
that's
understand?
Fair.
Do you
I
understand?
Think I think that's fair.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say. I
all
think
right.
it's fair.
Well, make
I can say I understand, but I think it's
William,
fair.
William, can't nobody hear either one of us.
No, I understand that, but I think it's
time.
Fair. I think you should say what you want to say, and I want you to go say that.
Okay.
Do you understand I got to have my say?
I know.
Not
hey,
to give and
I'm
take.
I'm listening to what you got to say.
See, that's a give and take.
This is a free country,
absolutely.
William. Everybody's entitled to an opinion, and God.
Amen. You
know, Adam and Eve, eating the fruit of knowledge, gave us the knowledge of right and wrong.
Amen.
Okay. But me being a man, if I'm in... Now, I am a Christian. Now, I'm not a man of strong faith, but I am a Christian.
Praise God.
And I'm working real hard on what I have.
Praise God.
But if I'm in communication with God, and the angel comes to me and tells me that God wants my wife, my virgin wife, to be the mother of his child that's going to be the savior of all mankind, I'm not going to be eating humble pie. I'm going to be eating glorious pie and be telling everybody, hey, my wife is
going to
be eating
no pie.
And you're not letting me make my point.
Hold on for a minute.
Both
you gentlemen. Hold on. Both you gentlemen, hold on. This is Phil Henry. Pastor Rennick, that was inappropriate.
What?
That whole comment about pie.
He brought up pie and about eating it. And I said,
he's talking about eating humble pie. Go ahead, David.
All right. Thank you.
Damn.
All right. I would be honored, and I would go tell the whole world, hey, my wife is going to give birth to the Savior of mankind, the gateway for all of us to get to heaven, to spend eternity with God in a glorious place.
They throw a butterfly net on you.
William, let me say this. My other point is, nowhere in the Bible does it ever state Jesus' skin color. History has proven that his skin color was of a dark color because of the region he was from. And just to let you know, I'm from Mississippi. I do have many black friends. And
well,
God doesn't,
have, black
God
friends?
Doesn't
black.
Have any skin color at all. No, I'm white.
You white?
Yes.
How
but,
about that?
God doesn't have skin color. My point is, I would be honored.
I never heard a white man talk with such sense.
I would be
you
honored
make a
as
lot
a man.
Of, I just want to say, you make a lot of sense for a white man. I'm paying you a compliment. The most of the white people I've talked to, they don't have the sense to get in out of the rain. You sound like a smart man.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
But
yeah, look, the Bible did say he had wool-like hair. And let's see who has hair like that. Let me see. Who has wool-like hair? Oh, look like a black man. Now, I want to say one other thing.
Well, because of the region he was in, he had to have been a man of dark.
You talk about eating humble pie?
He in the region that he was from.
Got the whole pie.
All right. Pastor Rennick, nobody seems to be able to get through to you the fact that Joseph was imbued with the Spirit of God and probably was happy that that his wife was carrying. You want to see it as Joseph was a man who was humiliated.
I don't know. I'm just saying a lot of these people want to think that. But
because
what
we're
if,
people of faith and we believe
right.
what we read in the Bible.
Well, I think that it's possible. Don't you think it's possible that Joseph wanted to spear that kid like
possible.
A pig at a frat party?
For a true man
right.
of God, it
right.
is not possible.
Absolutely.
William.
All right, David, thank you very much for your call. And there's an awful lot of violent violent imagery here, Pastor Rennick. Do you use this in your sermon?
Bill, I speak the way the Spirit moved me. And I say with love. I say this with love, that God Jesus into the world, and Joseph took one look at that baby and wanted to cook it like a pig in a luau. And I...
That's all we need to this week from Pastor William Renick. Joseph must have been really jealous. Merry Christmas. 1-800, by the way, tomorrow night your wife's going to be on.
On what?
On my show.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good. Clara, I love her very much. She come to me and says, hey, God, give me a baby. I'd say, all right, let's get an overnight bag for you. It's time.
Time to go to the hospital and give birth to the baby?
Yeah, sure.
Jeez.
All right, 1-800, sorry, Pastor, I don't mean to be so stupid. 1-800-449-8686. R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy coming up in a few minutes on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Roasting marshmallows on the everlasting bonfire. The Phil Henry Show is back.
R.C. Collins joins us in the next hour from Bradley Military Academy, and he'll be discussing, dances they have. The girls who come to the dances at Bradley Military Academy are Catholic girls without any discipline. It's going to be really, rather interesting. Loose, moraled girls. We have Hypothetical America tonight with Jeff Dowder. What would it be like if we all could fly? That's Jeff's Hypothetical America question tonight. What if we could fly? And we also have, of course, our Best of the Phil Henry Show CD available on our website, www.philhenryshow.com, and it is called Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Hello, Logan? Logan, how you doing, pal?
I'm fine.
What did you want to say, buddy?
My grandpa says that he doesn't like Jews, but he thinks John Goodman's funny. And my grandpa.
You talking about your grandpa?
Yeah, and my grandpa says that a lady giving birth to a baby in a stable today, at midnight, is called a Mexican. And my grandpa says that the only reason why they let lady reporters on the sideline
at a football game
is because if they didn't, they'd go PMS on you and slit your throat with a soup can lid. And my grandpa...
All right, is your grandpa there?
No, I'm not.
No. And my grandpa says that the blacks were happier when they were tap dancing and playing the harmonica. And my grandpa says that what most women today want is to have sex with other women, and that men are wasting their time getting advice from queers about hairdos and wallpaper. And my grandpa says that if President Roosevelt were president today, that Mary Hart and Larry King would tell everybody he's a cripple, and then a mob would burn the White House down. And my grandpa,
that's all the time we have, Logan.
But my grandpa says, stick it.
What is it, like once a week with that kid? My grandpa says, if Roosevelt were president, Mary Hart would tell everybody he's a cripple. 1-800-449-8686. I think it's just absolutely, these grandparents today, ought to be all run over with their own Cadillacs. I really believe it. Okay. Phil Henry program on December the 23rd will be all requests. That's right, all requests. You guys can call in with your requests, and we will try to get them on the air, and it'll only be a phone request show, no email request. And speaking of that, we've got another email request for you tonight, later on this evening. But that'll be on the 23rd, and that is an all-request show, and I hope that you'll join us for that. It'll be hopefully we can do an annual thing. We've got another bit coming up tonight, by the way. Brian Worsham will join us with a bit called Fooling Around with Dad's Guns. And I'm told that it's going to be on public television. It's going to be replacing Bob Vila's What is Bob Vila's show called? You know, Home Again? Yeah, this one's going to be fooling around with Dad's gun. So he'll be sitting there in a big Western belt buckle, and they'll try to break into a gun cabinet. And then there's another one called Fooling Around with Dad's Tools. And that'll be great. So they'll be in the garage, and they'll just turn on the skill saw, and they'll be wearing beanies or something. I don't know what's going to be happening with that, right?
I just don't know.
Okay. In the news, Bin Laden made another tape, and he says everything's good, and he's praising all the martyrs there. And the cat is, boy, you know what? I'm beginning to think now we got to be able to get a handle on this guy. He's got these tapes that are coming out. This guy's got more TV programming available. This guy's producing more stuff than Fox, CBS, CNN. You put them all together, man. Bin Laden's more productive than any of them. You realize this guy's videotape that he sits there with a camera that he bought at Sears. He's got more people watching what he's doing than anything, than whatever it is that they're putting out this coming fall. What's the show that they say they're ripping off now? My Bachelor Dad or something? These guys spend a lot of money trying to get people to watch their shows. Bin Laden can sit there with a handheld 8mm, and he's got guys, 800 million people watching that guy. And he ain't all that good looking.
I don't think we're ever going to catch him.
You don't, bud?
Yeah, I think he's magic.
What do you mean you think he's magic?
Well, think about it. Has anybody ever seen Bigfoot?
Has anybody ever seen Bigfoot? What is that?
But I think Bin Laden's like that. I think he's like Bigfoot and Santa Claus.
Oh, so in other words, he's mythic. He's fictitious.
In a way, yeah.
So Bin Laden's like some terrorist elf.
Well, yeah. Nobody's ever seen him.
Nobody's ever seen him.
No.
So in other words, all the videotapes that have come out with that guy on them, who's he?
Well, that's him, but no one's ever seen him other than on a tape.
Even the guy that made the tape, I guess.
Probably.
Oh, man, Dickman. You're really breaking some records tonight. So Santa Claus, Bigfoot, and Bin Laden are all extra-dimensional creatures.
I think he's just magic. I think he, like, comes in the middle of the night.
Blows up something and then leaves, huh?
Yeah.
It's like a bad tooth fairy.
Yeah, he's the bad tooth fairy.
Instead of leaving money under your pillow, he just blows your building up.
What are you laughing at? It's very serious.
Because you're an idiot. That's why I'm laughing. Bin Laden's like the tooth fairy, except that he believes...
Call me a retard.
1-800-449-8686. R.C. Collins coming up next. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Look, Dickman, all I was trying to say was...
Don't talk to me about...
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The eighth wonder of the world. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
R.C. Collins is joining us. R.C. is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy. And I don't often talk to cadets from military academies. How are you, R.C.?
Yes, sir. Very good.
How old are you?
17.
And you are a cadet, a junior cadet?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me why you are a cadet at a military academy? Were you sent there by your folks? Was it something that you wanted to do?
Yes, sir. Well... It's mostly a preparation for military life. It indoctrinates us into a military lifestyle and living our life by a code that we believe in, which is God and country and flag. And we try and stay focused on our schoolwork and our officer training and the weapons drills and our endurance drills. And it's a full curriculum. It's good for a lot of us who want to eventually make the military our career.
Is that what your plans are?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
What are the drawbacks?
There's not really a lot of drawbacks. It's a good world that we live in. If there's any drawbacks, I suppose the fact that we have a couple of dances a month that we host here. For those events, we invite girls from two of our local private high schools, which is Laverna High School and St. Rose Lane. We do like the dances, but it's unfortunate that a lot of girls who go to the school where the priests, I guess, did stuff to kids You know, I'm trying to put this as a gentleman. I mean, the girls are sometimes a little wild.
You talking about Catholic girls?
Well, I don't know, but my understanding is these are girls that come from the school where they have... the teachers are women, and they're not... My understanding is they're not married, and...
They're like nuns, right?
I don't know, sir. I honestly don't know. I believe it is Catholic, but they have men who have a certain style of uniform and do, you know, a religious service, a priest or something. It's the religion where the priests allegedly touch kids. And
so, all right, let me ask you. You have dances.
You know, I'm sorry. I guess I'm not making myself very clear. We have a really good life, but what we're more interested in is when we are exposed, I guess, to civilians, we want to feel that these are people who are going to be appreciative of the efforts we're going to make on their behalf once we do get into the military. I have plans of going into the Army, United States Army paratroopers. I'd like to be airborne, which means that hopefully I'll be able to go into combat in Iraq or wherever my country needs me. And when you do go into combat, you want to feel that, you know, the people back home are, you know, you want to feel that you're defending people who are, you know, quality people. And these girls that we're exposed to these dances, I guess.
They're not really the highest grade of girl. Do you think it's because of the religion?
I really don't know, sir. I you know, they're very aggressive. They say the priests and the religion that they've got did stuff to them.
Well, let's stay on that for a minute. You say it's your dances. The girls from the schools that you invite are aggressive. And now, we can talk about the Catholic schools in question, but aggressive girls, when I was your age, would have been music to my ears. You know what I mean? That would have been a good thing.
Well, I mean, we're a little different from, I guess, a regular public school. And the young men that attend those, we try and maintain a higher level of self-discipline and self-respect because we know someday our country might call on us. You know, to defend it. It's not like we don't like girls. I mean, we all do. It's that we wish they conducted themselves, you know.
Like more ladylike?
Oh, yes, sir. Like a little bit more ladylike.
Well, let me tell you, without being too specific, how are these girls aggressive? Give me an example of young women that you guys have had to your dances that you like.
Yes, sir. Well, as I mentioned, these girls are all from two specific religious schools, and as many people sometimes say, I guess a lot of these Catholic girls can be aggressive because of the priest that touched them, or...
Well, understand that not every priest touched these kids.
Okay, I mean, I don't know, but there is a possibility that they got touched, and as cadets who live by a code, we often find ourselves telling these girls to, you know, to act a little bit more appropriate on our campus at our dances. And
well, is the solution inviting another school?
Well, I think that what a lot of these kids had to go through the hands of these priests touching them. I feel bad for them. I think any priest that would do that to a girl should be shot like a dog. But still, I mean, the girls, they come up from these schools. And if we had some of the girls that come up from San Marino High School, Pasadena, that'd be better, yeah? But a lot of the wafer trash, a lot of the girls...
What is wafer trash?
Yes, sir. That's kind of a term that one of us invented for the girls that are come from the school. They eat... So I guess the Catholic Church, where they eat wafers and they drink wine, and it's pretty loose.
And well, that's called communion. It's a sacrament of the Catholic Church, and communion is eating a wafer and drinking wine.
Well, yes, sir, but I mean, the problem we have with that...
And just so you know, people hearing the term wafer trash might feel, you know, like there's a little bigotry there.
No, sir.
Well, I mean, that's what they'd feel.
Well, no, sir, I think a bigot is somebody who doesn't like someone as a result of what... of just they don't like them. I mean, we have reasons for... a lot of the wafer, I mean, what I call the wafer trash coming in and, you know, acting the way they do. But it's just that if I'm going to die for my country, I want to feel that I'm dying for people that are worthy of it. And a lot of this wafer trash that comes in is not, you know, I'm going to lay dying in a trench in Iraq, and the last thing I'm thinking about is some, you know, some poobah skank, you know, excuse my language, sir, is, you know, wafer trashed out and everything.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8668. Poobah skank. 1-800-449-8686. R.C. Collins is a cadet. Boy, he's a pretty direct-spoken young cadet at Bradley Military Academy about some of the girls they have up at their dances are a little loose, and if they're going to be out fighting for their country, They want to make sure that they're fighting for people that are worthy. But it's true, though, isn't it, R.C., that a soldier fights for his country no matter who the citizenry?
I'm sorry, sir, could you say that again?
I said it's true that a soldier fights for his country no matter who it is he's fighting for, correct?
No, sir. The code that we live by in the military is that we fight and die for our flag because it does represent a certain kind of living, a certain kind of standard. And the Americans who, you know, will send us over to Iraq or to any theater of war to fight for our country, you know, we're here to say that, you know, we're very hopeful that they're worthy of that defense. Otherwise, what you do is you have a generation of veterans coming back who are going to be a little upset. And the only thing I'm going to be thinking about when I'm in Iraq or I'm going to be over someplace, some guy sending some skank over to my school.
Can we not use the word skank?
Excuse me, sir?
Could we not use the word skank?
Oh, yes, sir. Well, I mean, just some, you know, these girls that come over, a lot of the way for trash or what have you. And I want to feel that I'm not laying, dying in a trench in Iraq. The last thing I see is some wafer trash hanging over me with too much lipstick, you know, bad-looking earrings, you know.
Sounds pretty hot.
Oh, yes, sir. She probably is very hot. But, you know, I'm not the kind of individual, because the code that I live by, that I just give it up for any, you know, poo-ball wafer trash going to come waltzing through the doors of the gym. You know, I just want to feel that they're worthy, that's all.
But isn't it true that as a soldier, you can't be guaranteed that every citizen that you are fighting to defend is a worthy individual?
That might have been the thinking of a lot of people back in the olden days, but today's soldier really goes to war for his country. But when he comes back home and he sees people acting in a manner that is cavalier, that doesn't seem to respect the sacrifice of the soldier, when the people are voting for, you know, these anti-war candidates or behaving in a way where they feel soldiers shouldn't even be fighting, that's disrespectful, at which time they are, you know, technically, you know, kind of pissing me off, and, you know, then I got to take that too, you know, I got to take that into consideration as to just how pissed off do I want to get. You know,
well, you're speaking about a generation of returning war veterans who are going to be revengeful of their own people.
Well, if they don't prove themselves worthy to be defended, you know, and the first thing you got to worry about is, you know, Mr. Citizen sending his daughter with her chlamydia into my dance. And
all right, okay, hold on. I want you to get this kid to kind of maybe just clean it up a little bit. 1-800-449-8686. Young military cadet from Bradley Military Academy. His name is R.C. Collins. And the kinds of girls that they're getting at their dances, he thinks, are simply not up to the standard of the standard they have as cadets. And that if someday he fights and possibly dies for his country, he wants to know that he's fighting for people that are a little more worthy. Unless you want a generation of angry veterans coming home and taking it out on the not-so-worthy citizens back home. 1-800-449-8686. Now, a cadet can't just automatically go into the Army, can he? He seems to think he's going to become airborne as soon as he graduates. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, Popeye, why don't you grab a piece of spinach and slide off?
One 800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You don't believe that those Earth Firsters are right, though?
No, sir, I don't. I don't believe in anybody taking the law into their own hands. But I understand the anger at people who drive these sports utility vehicles, because they do require a great deal of gasoline, which is made from oil that comes from the Middle East, which is where our soldiers are right now engaged in battling this enemy. And I think, it's my feeling, I think a lot of the people that I go to school with, that people who drive these sports utility vehicles and the large cars that take a lot of gas don't have any respect for the soldiers, and, you know, we're going to take that into consideration, that's all.
Well, yeah, but you keep saying we're going to take that into consideration. So when you come back to the States after fighting in the war, what?
Well, I mean, I'm going to see somebody driving a SUV. I'm going to take that to mean that they're, you know, they're kind of sticking it up in my face a little bit. So I'm going to have to take that into consideration. But right now, I go to Bradley Military Academy on account of I'm only 16, but I do, one day, we'll all go in the Army, and I'm going to, you better, you know, you better watch out, because, you know, anybody, you know, that the terrorists come up to me, I'm going to kill them. But also, I'm kind of pissed off at a lot of the people that live here whose daughters are skanky and they drive SUVs.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know whether, RC, you represent the military of the future or not. Here's JD. JD, go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing?
Fine, sir.
Hey, I just want to make a comment about this young man. First, I want to say I think it's good he wants to go into the military.
Thank you.
He needs to realize that we get a lot of our oil from Canada and other places, and driving an SUV is one of our liberties, one of our rights. And as far as the defending people...
Are you military?
I served in the first Gulf War, and I served in Panama. I fought in both of them.
Well, sir, then I got a lot of respect to you, for you as a warrior. And don't you come back to the States and you look at all these citizens with their SUVs, and don't you want to just say, boy, what did I go over there for? Look at these people. I want to kill them.
No, I want to say good for you for driving a vehicle you can be proud of, for buying an American vehicle, and thanks for letting me defend you. Thanks for letting me do what I needed to do so that you can have the freedom to do what you want to do.
I want to jump in. Let me just jump in, JD. What do you mean you want to, RC said you want to kill them?
Well, no, I don't. But, I mean, if I came back from Iraq like this man did, and I see citizens whose daughters are a lot of weight for trash or skanked out or something, and they're driving their SUVs, and I'm going to think, why did I even go over there and do that? They're nothing but skanks.
You did that because that's what your country wanted you or needed you to do. You didn't do it because that you don't want people to drive SUVs. You do that because that's what your government or your country deems necessary. And when you're in the military, you'll realize that there's certain things that you may not agree with, but that doesn't mean that you don't do your job, just like in regular life.
Right, that's why you...
Job,
don't
and
you,
you're proud of it.
Don't you separate your opinion as a military man from your opinion as a civilian?
Yeah, but I'm
exactly.
I'm ready to eat my own guts. I deserve more than wafer trash. Don't you think?
No, because they're Americans.
Oh, swear.
It doesn't matter what class of people they are, whether they're extremely rich and drive Hummers, or they're extremely poor and drive piece-of-crap Chevy pickups. They're Americans. You're fighting to defend their rights to do what they want to do.
Hey, I don't want them to drive a Hummer. I just want them to give...
All right, you have to watch your language, son.
I'm sorry, sir.
All right, J.D., thank you.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Yeah, 1-800-449-8686. This young man in the military academy at Bradley is talking about his experience. You call these girls wafer trash, which you assume are Catholic girls.
Yeah, that's my understanding.
And you don't want to go to Iraq or anywhere else in the world and fight for a country that produces those kinds of women. Is that it?
Well, it's really not just them. I understand that a lot of parents don't have control over their young women. And like I said, they come out of a religion where they got touched by maybe by a nun or something. But I do think that there are a number of things in this society that I do see. People who drive large gas-guzzling cars are one of them. Individuals who tend to spend more time on the sports page than they do reading the news. Individuals that read a lot of comic books but don't spend enough time perhaps investigating history. You're asking me to go to Iraq or to Saudi Arabia or to the Belgian Congo or somewhere like that to go and fight the enemies of America, and then you turn around and behave in a way that kind of tightens my jaws up and pisses off a lot of my brothers and I who are going to go over and fight. And all I'm saying is, if you are going to live in a way that basically says, yes, soldier, go over there and die while I'm over here eating, you know, hot dogs and going to Der Wiener Schnitzel instead of eating healthy food and eating at Der Wiener Schnitzel instead of having a good breakfast, well, then that's going to piss me off, and I'm going to want some answers when I get back.
Piss you off? What are you going to do, man? You heard what that guy said.
Well, he's an old veteran, and I respect him a lot, but we are the new soldiers, And if all you're going to do is give me your poobah skank daughter and have me have to, you know, sit there and watch you have breakfast at dear Wiener Schnitzel instead of eating a healthy meal of Wheatina, then it...
All right, hold on for a minute, man. You're saying a whole lot here about people's eating habits.
All of these things are very important to us soldiers. You have to be worthy for me to defend you. And I don't think anybody's ever said that before, Mr. Andrew, but we're a new breed of soldier. And
you have to be worthy for you. I have to be worthy.
Yes, sir.
For you to defend me.
Yes, sir. This is the new code of the young soldiers that are coming up. Maybe we don't sound like the guys that are going over to Iraq right now, or the guys that went down to Independence, or our guys that fought in Japan. But we're the new breed of soldier. And I don't want to go over to another country and eat my own guts and split open the head of some raghead only to come back and watch people having breakfast at their Wiener Schnitzel instead of having a healthy meal. And a lot of stuff. The girls are just one part of it in the SUVs. It's everything.
You're talking about a whole lifestyle thing. And I got to tell you something. The only other generation of returning veteran that I ever heard spoke in the manner that you're speaking, and I don't want to scare you and I don't want to insult you, but the only other returning generation of veterans that spoke in the rather strident way that you're speaking now were the returning German veterans from World War One, who went back to Germany and had a great many hard and fast opinions about their country, and they eventually evolved into what became the Nazis.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about that. I'm talking totally against being a Nazi. I'm against all the Nazi, everything of the Nazis.
All right, let me go over here to Lee. Lee, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, thank you. I just want to make a couple points. Number one, I am a Vietnam veteran, retired officer from the military, and this cadet, or whatever he wants to refer himself as, is very immature, and I hope that he never makes it as a soldier in the U.S. Army.
What are you talking about? I want to be to fight for the country.
I understand that, but wanting to fight for the country and understanding the freedoms of this country and what you're fighting for, you have a lot to learn, young man.
Can I ask you, sir, when you returned from Vietnam and you saw people at Dairy Queen, it had to disappoint you.
Yes, I experienced that. I sat there at the Washington Monument, as a matter of fact, with fixed bayonets ready to go against our civilian population. And I lived through all of that, understood all of that.
But also, you guys had to go through the humiliation of having little yellow men kick your ass.
All right, hold on for a minute, I want him to comment on that. 1-800-449-8686. R.C. Collins of the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, come. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I think you owe that man an apology. Let me get him back. Lee? Lee?
Yes.
Yeah, R.C.?
Yes, sir. I'm very sorry for what I said, sir.
Okay.
Okay, R.C., I have another thought for you.
Let me just say one thing. R.C., you made the comment that Lee's generation of soldier got their asses kicked by little yellow men. And that was a cruel, hurtful, and wrong thing to say, wasn't it?
Yes, sir, it was.
Go ahead, Lee.
Okay, another thought for you, R.C., to ponder over. Being a soldier for this country, for the United States of America, that holds freedom high up on the, you know, for in our heart for every citizen of this country.
Yes, sir.
You sit here and you're expounding thoughts and ideas that make me think of the enemy we're fighting right now, who are terrorists, who go out and lash out against their own people and their enemy, and they go after women and children, and you're speaking the same type of rhetoric.
No, sir.
I think you need to really reflect on your hatred and come to a better understanding of what it means to be a soldier for this country and what you're fighting for.
Well, sir, with all due respect to your service to our country, I want our people to, when I come back from fighting for this country, and there's a guy at Krispy Kreme at 6 a.m., sitting there with plumber's crack and everything.
R.C., it's not going to happen.
Yes, sir?
That's not going to happen.
What?
There's no way that everybody in this country or anywhere in the rest of this world are going to agree with everything we do. Wars
right.
are always unpopular.
Hey, I want to ask a question, R.C. So you come home from fighting a war, and you see some guy at Krispy Kreme at 6 a.m. with plumber's crack. So what?
It just shows the American people are lazy and fat and out of shape. And what are good men like Lee here and me, hopefully someday, I want to go over and take Bin Laden's head out of a cave on a stick.
Well, you guys are just going to have to fight for all Americans, fat, skinny, in shape, out of shape.
It tightens my jaws to see a man having his breakfast at a place like Der Wiener Schnitzel, Dairy Queen, or Arby's.
R.C., right. you have a lot of growing up to do, and that's
yes,
all
sir.
I have to say.
Thank you very much, Lee. Thank you, sir. Here's Ann. Ann, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with R.C. Collins. Ann?
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead, ma'am.
I just wanted to say that this boy is very bigoted, and God forbid that any of the services would ever take him in and give him a gun to use.
Well, what did I say that was big? That was bigoted?
I beg your pardon?
What did I say that was bigoted?
Everything you said was
bigoted.
Bigoted. Bigoted
from,
as, yeah.
From what you call those young girls, wafer. I can't
you
even
can
remember.
Say it. Come on, you can do it. Wafer.
Don't be rude. He called them wafer. What did he call them? Wafer trash, Ann.
That's what he called them.
Yes, ma'am.
And I can't believe that a whole class of girls are trash, or the fact that they're Catholic makes them even worse.
Well, ma'am, a lot of the Catholic
and
girls...
also, if you disapprove of these girls, why are you at that dance? Why are you not in your room studying? And
well,
why are you inviting them anyway?
Ma'am, there's an old saying in the Army, and I say this with the greatest of respect.
You've had any respect for anybody that you've mentioned, not only those girls, but even people who are going innocently into a restaurant and ordering a donut or an ice cream.
Well, ma'am, it's difficult for a soldier to die for a country
nobody
full,
asked
of people,
you to.
Full of people that have plumber's crack.
Nobody asked
Nobody's
you.
Asking to die for the country for people who got plumber's crack. Now, why don't you answer, Ann ask you a question about, why would you go to that dance?
On account it's at my school. I'm supposed to be there. I'm on the entertainment committee.
Well, it's time for you to get off the entertainment committee because you're not entertaining those girls. You're judging them.
These girls are wafer trash. Priests touched them. I read about it.
I think that you... you were tarring every priest with your foul brush. There are people who have been in the Catholic Church that have done things that are wrong,
hey,
but there are people throughout every religion who also do things wrong.
Right, you're
but
right.
Not every priest is bad.
I want to ask you a question. Did they have a hitching post for you to tie the horse up at school, or was there a guy that took it, or what?
I beg your pardon?
When you went to school, did you have a hitching post to tie your horse up at, or did a guy valet it, or what?
What does that mean?
I'm just asking her about going to school. Where did she tie her horse
up? I went to school so many years ago that I had to plow through the snow for miles and miles on foot.
Here we go.
Okay.
So, but where did you tie your horse up at?
She said she walked.
I couldn't afford a
right.
horse.
Okay. So you either walked or you mule hitched.
What do you mean mule hitched?
Well, she stuck out her thumb and hitched a ride on a mule.
All right, Ann, thank you very much for your call. You know, that lady is trying to tell you something about making fun of people that have breakfast at Dairy Queen.
I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to eat my guts and bring Bin Laden's head out of a cave on a stick for some guy with plumber's crack at Dairy Queen with the bull swirl ice cream cone.
Here is Dave. Dave, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. R.C.
Yes, sir.
I went to the largest military academy in this country for males. I went to St. Thomas Academy.
Oh, right.
We had a 600-man brigade. It was all male, Catholic, and military, and it was all mandatory. And then at the end of that, I received a scholarship to do ROTC. I got my commission as an officer in the Army.
That's what I want to do.
Well, I hope that I hope that you can reflect as to what it means to be an officer in the Army. And I would want you to read the officer guide. There's a code of conduct. Above all, an officer is a gentleman and a professional. And the way that you're talking to people right now is contrary to both being a gentleman and being a professional.
What did I say, sir?
Well, if you don't know what you said, I'm not sure
I can help
you out.
What did I say? I'm saying I don't want to go to war and come back and see civilians so disrespecting the great efforts of our soldiers that they're sitting there with their pants halfway down their crack.
Well, the beautiful thing about this Army, this Air Force, this Marine Corps, and this Navy is that it's an all-volunteer force, young man.
Sir,
and no one's forcing you to do it.
Sir, I don't want to be disrespectful, but are you a pencil pusher?
No, I'm a physician.
You're a physician, sir?
Yes.
Why would you say a pencil pusher?
I thought maybe you had a desk job.
I'm a physician. I'm also airborne.
Really?
Yes.
That's what I want to be. So you know what I'm talking about. You come back after going to Iraq and eating your own guts, and you come back to these poobahs, wafer eaters, and plumber's crack.
Wafer eaters, poobahs, and plumber's crack.
Well, hey, young man.
Yes, sir.
The other thing that I want to take issue with is the way that you're referring to Catholics. That is sort of reminiscent of the anti-Catholic and anti-Semitic bigotry that was prevalent in this country earlier in its history. I'm also a history major. I've read a fair amount of history.
Was you ever...
And I know a thing or two about anti-Catholic bigotry. Do you know anything about the civil rights movement of the 60s? There was
I never heard of it. Well, I never heard about it. I want to know, what part of the Coast Guard were you in?
I'm in the United States Army.
I'm in the Medical Corps, and I'm airborne. I'm not in the Coast Guard. Did you hear me, young man?
Did you say you're airborne?
Yes, I am airborne.
Kind of like a lot of today's viruses.
Like what?
Just a joke, sir.
You know what? If you want to be a smart-ass kid, you can call somebody else's show. He said kind of like a lot of today's viruses, airborne. Ha ha.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the airborne sergeants are going to chew you up and spit you out.
Well, I want to be airborne and drop into Kurdistan.
Look, kid.
Answer this. They're going to chew you up and spit you out at Fort Benning. You don't have a prayer there.
Sir, isn't it true that a lot of people say airborne's nothing more than a Cub Scout with a hang glider?
That's not true at all. You don't know the first thing about being airborne.
I'm sorry, sir. That's what I've heard.
That's pretty disrespectful. Cub Scout with a hang glider, huh?
That's what I've heard.
Well... You know, the other thing, too, is I am an Eagle Scout, so I guess you could say I'm an Eagle Scout that's airborne. So I guess that's partway true.
Well, a guy said to me the other day, he says, airborne. That's the way you get polio.
Well,
I recommend
that you do not go into the Army because you're going to get a blanket party and you're going to get SOS scrubbed when you wake up in the middle of the night at 0200.
Was you ever a Weeblo?
What's that?
Was you ever a Weeblo?
No, I was not. But you're going to get blanket party. Do you understand that?
He's saying that they're going to tie you up and beat you, man, when you get into the Army, RC, because you're such a smartass. And
so a guy that wants to fight and die for his country is going to get beaten before he gets go to battle.
Hey, RC, you want to know? I don't care if you want to die and fight for your country. It's an all-volunteer force, and no one's making you do it. So please don't. I don't want you in my Army.
You know, they say Weeblo is just a nice way of saying I didn't have any friends who got my ass kicked.
I don't want you in my Army. You need to start acting like a decent human being before
you
can even consider being an officer.
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't want to piss you off, sir.
All right. Dave, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't know whether any of this is sinking into you, kid. You know?
You can take kid and shove it up your...
That's got to be one of the classic lines of all time. Ain't it true that airborne's nothing more than a Cub Scout with a hang glider? Wow! R.C. Collins, who is at Bradley Military Academy, he loves his country. He just doesn't like too many of the people living in it. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, our By Request flashback. This one is of, is it now, tell me. It's Larry Grover, and it was the time when he was looking out for the war widow next door. Because, you know, her husband's going to die, so Larry wants to help her clean out the rain gutter and anything else she needs. That's coming up next on The Phil Henry Show. We have Jeff Dowder with Hypothetical America and Brian Worsham's Fooling Around with Dad's Gun segment on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Very well, you will kiss the gunner's daughter. Take him below for the makings.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Don't forget, we've got our all-request show December 23rd here on The Phil Henry Show. Now, we have for you a request of a flashback, and this is coming to us from Spencer. I think it's Spencer Self. And it says, hello, could you play the bit about Larry Grover wanting to hook up with a young woman whose husband was fighting in Afghanistan, and he wanted to be ready in case the husband died. When Larry's mom got on the phone to talk to the caller and invited her for tea after church, I was laughing so hard I was crying. Spencer, here it is. This is Larry Grover, and it's War Widow time with Larry Grover, flashback by request on The Phil Henry Show.
I am currently serving with families that are trying to keep people like Larry from screwing up our soldiers' lives.
Wait a minute. How am I screwing up the life of a soldier by helping put up a rain gutter that
this
he promised?
This woman will be having access to email and telephones, and she will call her husband and tell him about you, and then he's getting concerned about what's going on at home.
What is he to be concerned about? I'm taking care of... I'm doing stuff
you should
have done.
Not just taking care of the house. You're trying to hit on the woman, and you've admitted that. You want to be in line.
Don't you understand, Reverend?
Now, let's get honest.
No, I don't want to hit on her.
I'm in counseling, and I'm a professional at this. You want this woman.
Only if the soldier dies.
No,
admit, come on,
you want
man.
This woman, and therefore you should have nothing to do with her at this point in her life because she's in crisis.
Reverend, hold on. Pastor Rennick from Joyful Union is on the line from Bellflower. Pastor Rennick, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm listening to this young man who was on your program. I have to agree with the Reverend who was on the line with you. What you are doing is you're poisoning a situation.
Reverend, I am not...
Now you listen to me. You are poisoning a situation. You are poisoning. You are not helping. You are poisoning.
He is.
And
poisoning the situation.
And by throwing a poison in there, what you do is you make that home dysfunctional. You don't make that home better.
What needs
and
to be
I also want to say...
What needs
that
to
every
be done,
kind of man that ever would do that to a woman that I knew, I'd cut his gut.
All right, I had to hang up on him. Go ahead, Reverend.
What needs to be done is this man, if he cares about this woman, needs to step back and not involve himself in anything personal.
Fair enough. But what about the L.A. Times and all of these other things that I was requesting?
Listen. In Afghanistan, we've had one person killed in the last 3 weeks. Of the people that have gone to Afghanistan, the percentage of
people
coming
home... Are you talking
about
Mr. Dillman?
That's exactly right.
Pat Tillman, not Dillman. Tillman.
Yes, sir.
Tillman. Of the percentage of people coming home, you're talking about 99-plus.
That's right.
The percentage.
Yeah, in Afghanistan, yeah.
And the point that we're dealing with is this guy's putting himself in a position to take advantage.
You cut me off.
Yes, I cut you off. You used a word that I don't want used on the air.
What did I say, Conan?
All right. Reverend, thank you.
Hey, and God bless you for supporting the troops.
Thank you, sir.
Do what you can to make sure the people understand our troops are doing good work.
Yes.
And the people of those countries appreciate us.
Yes, sir. I understand that.
And I understand that as well, Reverend. I'm just, why don't I get any recognition?
I'll tell you what.
I've been surviving for 3 weeks because I went over to...
I work with family support people.
Well.
I work with family support people all the time.
Yeah.
We do a ton of work here in the home station that is not recognized, and it's not important that it's recognized. What we need to do is support the troops.
I got another Shirley Temple. I'm sorry?
It's not important that we get recognized. What's important is that we recognize the troops.
Hold on. Why is this guy still back on?
You kept hanging up on me because I used the word going.
All right.
I don't understand why it is that I cannot. All she has to do is give me a little hug. All she has to do is show me that there's a chance, if her husband gets, say, machine gunned by the Al-Qaeda, that there's a chance that she and me maybe, because I could really go for her, I'll tell you that.
Oh, man, dude, you're all... Yes.
I will not be hung up on just because I used the word balls.
Yeah. There it is. Flashback by request there from Spencer. And we call that one War Widow. That's Larry Grover as he was talking Well, it was back around the time of Pat Tillman's tragic death when he said, well, there's a lady next door and her husband. Well, you know the story. You just heard the whole flashback. So anyway, that's from Spencer. If you have a request, we are taking email requests, but as things have gotten closer to the holidays, it's very difficult for us to fulfill all of the requests before we get to the Christmas week. So understand that email requests are going to be delayed a little bit. But we do have our all request show on the 23rd, and that'll be cool, and you can call. And like that, tomorrow night, Clara Bingham on the Phil Henry Show. We thank R.C. Collins for joining us, the little putz, and we will have Clara tomorrow night on our program. The best of the Phil Henry Show CD available on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. Have you been to our website lately? We got a couple of new pictures in our wall of female listeners. Look at this. Rachel, Renee, and Amanda. Wow. Three goth chicks, they cut my head out of a little, it's just my head, and they're holding it up against Renee's big tattoo on her right shoulder, so they're sweet. And then we have here, is this Brenda? Brenda is posing next to a seascape, where she put me up next to her, almost as if she and I are out on a date at a very expensive restaurant. Then there's a gal in an angel costume, Katie. They're all in our wall of female listeners. Send us a picture. You got to be fully clothed. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Well, Brian Worsham with a special segment called Fooling Around with Dad's Guns. A special kind of home improvement segment, you know. Hey, let's fool around with Dad's guns, you know. Another stupid little bit from our show. And in a moment, I think we're going to have Jeff Dowder, right, bud?
Yeah, he's standing by, Mr. Henry.
Anyway, we got the latest email worm or virus that's out there. It's called Zaffy or Zaffy, which disguises itself as an email holiday greeting. Well, you still got to open it up, you bozos. These viruses and worms, you know, you remember that line from Full Metal Jacket? If it wasn't for dumbasses like you, there wouldn't be any thievery in the world, would there? Remember when Gomer Pyle doesn't lock his footlocker? And I kind of am reminded of that line when I think of email viruses. If you didn't open them up, they wouldn't spread. Why are people so lonely, so utterly lonely? Happy holiday greetings just for you. Oh, gosh. And they open it up, and the next thing you know, the hard drive of every computer within a full square mile is stripped and melting as we speak. The worm is most commonly found in South America, Italy, Spain, Bulgaria, and Hungary, and spreads itself in email. It says, Happy Holidays. Glendale, California-based Panda also noted in a statement on Wednesday that the virus has the ability to adapt to the language of the user, matching the message's language to the domain. Yada, yada, yada. It's not expected to have much effect in the United States. Well, I guess not. We got our own little viruses and worms. But the time difference with Europe gave advance warning to the U.S. antivirus companies. So somebody over in Europe started this thing, holiday greeting thing. The very first virus, do you remember the very first virus you introduced unwittingly into your computer? The very first virus I did was exactly that, Happy New Year. And I opened it up like a dumbass. Oh, gosh, look at this. And I opened it up, and it was a fireworks thing. And sure enough, everything slowed down, and I couldn't log on, and I was getting this and that, and everything was screwing up, and I had to call my producer at the time, Jonah Weiland, and he says, yeah, I figured out I got the code from the guy that did it. So he gave me some code. Alt, delete, /, you know? And I got rid of it, but I just think if people didn't open these things up, everything would be cool, but I guess people are gonna...
Yeah, what are you gonna do? People are dumbasses.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Henry Show. Jeff Dowder joins us now for Hypothetical America. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Henry, this is great. Welcome to Hypothetical America. I'm Jeff Dowder, everybody. And every week we look at a situation. What would America be like if we didn't have something?
And what are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about what would it be like if people could fly?
Now, can I just interrupt you for a minute?
Yeah.
How do you choose these?
What?
How do you choose these topics, man?
What do you mean? Oh, yeah, it's just like, what are you...
What would America be like if people could fly? Well, why don't you just say, what would America be like if people didn't have any heads?
We could do that one for next week. But
well, what I'm saying is, I don't know the significance, but go ahead.
Okay, I need to start again.
Oh, God. Bud, get his music.
Wait.
And now it's time for Jeff Dotter's Hypothetical America. Hi, Jeff.
Thanks a lot, Phil. Welcome to Hypothetical America. I'm Jeff Dotter. This is a segment of the Phil Henry program where we, you know, look at what stuff would be like if we didn't have it. What would our country be like if we could fly? If we could fly, right? It's an interesting question. What would our country indeed be like, or what would the world be like if we could fly? First of all, there would not be no professional sports because, I mean, if you think about what they do in basketball and football, that would be boring compared to everybody flying around. So nobody would go to a football game. And also, you'd have a bird's eye view of the ground. That's very important to know. Another thing...
Well, obviously.
What?
Yeah, I'd have a bird's eye view of the ground. That's right.
Well, that's right. There'd be no money spent on gas, so we'd have enough money for Christmas presents. Finally, people would stop complaining about Christmas. Oh, I'm always tired of Christmas. I never have enough money. If we could fly, you don't spend any money on gas.
Very good.
The other thing is, Kobe Bryant would have been able to save $4 million, and he'd still have it, and he'd be living large. Okay.
Wait a minute. How do you figure Kobe Bryant had saved $4 million?
About what?
If we could fly, how does that save Kobe Bryant $4 million?
Because there wouldn't be no basketball.
Well, then he wouldn't have $4 million, would he?
Well, he could have started a chain of steakhouses or something. I mean, I don't know.
All right, so Kobe Bryant ain't out $4 million on that ring for Vanessa. And let's see, what else? We'd have a bird's eye view of the ground, and there wouldn't be any basketball. What else?
Okay, the other thing is, if we could fly, there'd be a spike in suicide rates among traffic reporters, shoe salesmen, and cellular phone executives.
Now, why cellular phone executives?
Well, if we could fly, then we wouldn't want to have to drive, okay? Okay, Mr. Hendry? Okay?
Yes, okay.
All right, it's cooler to fly, and we wouldn't be in such a hurry, so we wouldn't need to be constantly on the phone telling people stuff. We'd have more time, so we wouldn't need no cell phones, and they wouldn't sell. And there'd be dudes sitting in cell phone showrooms twiddling their thumbs, flying around in cell showrooms because we can fly. So there'd be guys flying around, and they're bored, and then they blow their brains all out. And that's another thing. We'd need umbrellas for all the, you know, brain matter that's fallen.
Will you come on, man? Are you serious with half of this crap?
Well, I am thinking. And if we could fly, there would be no airlines. On the flip side, we'd be very cold, because it is cold up there.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Jeff Dotter's Hypothetical America. If we could fly, we'd have a bird's eye view of the ground. And cell phone executives would be blowing their brains out. But if they're blowing their brains out, it's because they're flying around up there blowing their brains out. So we'd need umbrellas to protect us from the brains falling.
My God, you've lost it.
That's right, Bud. I've lost it. All right, folks. It's a little bit after 9 o'clock here on the West Coast. A little bit after midnight on the East Coast. Here is Bob Shevardnadze with I'll Be Home for Christmas if I can fly. We'll be right back here on the Phil Henry Show. Hope you're enjoying our holiday music for this December 19th.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Coming up, we got Brian Worsham's Fooling Around with Dad's Guns. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Henry Show. I just realized I'm giving out the phone number and I had the lines all on hold. That's very smart. Make sure you give the phone number out, Phil, and then put everything on hold so that nobody can call. Well, a lot of guys do that, so you have the illusion that they're getting all kinds of calls, and they're very popular. But
we're not.
Exactly, we're not. Well, that's not that we're not. We're very selective with the phone calls we take on the show, as you obviously know. A lot of times I get people call and say,
"Wow, I got right through."
Well, you did. And the reason why you got right through is because we hang up really fast on people. There are people that screen their show, and they'll stay on the line. The producer, the phone screener, if you will stay on the line and, "Oh, hi, well, here's what we're going to do. We've got a lot of calls right now," and it'll go on forever. We just go, "Hello, no, hello, no, hello, no." Very, very quick, very efficient. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Hey, listen, I was thinking about that if we could fly, and I had a good idea.
If we could debut the Jeff Dowder thing?
Yeah.
What?
Well, he should have said, if we could fly, there wouldn't be any songs like "I Believe I Can Fly." Because that would be like, well, oh yeah, and "I Believe I Can Sneeze." So what, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And "Wind Beneath My Wings"? And they'd be like, "Well, yeah, well, you're the gum on my shoe." So? So what? So what?
You're right, bud. So what? There wouldn't be a song like "Wind Beneath My Wings" and "I Believe I Can Fly."
Yeah, so what?
Exactly.
So that's something he missed.
That's right. I'll give him a call.
I appreciate it.
Want to call him right now?
I hope you would.
Get him on the line.
Okay. Calling right now.
Jeff Dowder speaking.
Yeah, Jeff, it's Phil Henry.
Yeah.
Bud said one thing you missed in that "If We Could Fly" bit on the Hypothetical America.
Yeah?
There wouldn't be songs called "I Believe I Can Fly" because it would be so commonplace. You might as well write a song called, what was it, Bud?
"I Believe I Can Sneeze."
Yeah, it's true. There wouldn't be no flying songs.
Okay.
Just bet you how to know.
All right, man. I gotta go now, man, because I've been needing to take a number two since about...
Okay, thanks a lot.
About 4 to 7.
Thank you very much. You feel better now, Dickman? You got your whole little "I Believe I Can Sneeze" out of the way. All right. Phil Henry Show here. I wanted to mention for you gamers out there, I'm very big on Madden, as is my friend Mr. Newman. And there's a new football game out that is a mature rated football video game, meaning all kinds of mayhem and violence that the NFL doesn't allow. And it's called Blitz Playmakers. Now, I remember my kids had Blitz, and I don't know, it had, I guess you could, like, take a gun onto the field and just machine gun a guy or something. This is the gaming now. It just doesn't quite, because the kids beat the hell out of these levels, right? And then they beat another level, and they've beaten the game within 24 hours after they buy it. So a kid goes out, buys a $60 game, and if I've heard my youngest son screaming and crying about this once, I've heard him screaming and crying about this a million times.
$60, you guys owe me 60 bucks. Well, you should have bought the game. Yeah, well, why shouldn't I? Because you beat it in like 2 days, and then you throw it away.
So he beats the crap out of this game and then tosses it, $60, and then he wants his money back from his brothers who, you know, borrowed it, and, "Well, no, man, it was your mistake." Ball on his guts out. So when they were younger, they had this Blitz Playmakers. Because let's face it, Madden NFL is like for, if you really love football and you really like the strategy of the game, you want to play that game. But if you're kind of a dumbkopf, and you just want, you think football is just like kicking some guy, you know, ripping a guy's throat out, then you want to go for Blitz Playmakers. Now, it features a fictional league and fictional teams and players. It's scheduled for release in the fourth quarter. And they're going to price the game a lot cheaper. And basically, the game is going to, have things like in the locker room, the players are, you know, dealing coke to each other. And then they go out and they rape women. I don't know what it's going to be. I only know that Todd says if it's got that, I'm going to buy it. What the hell could it possibly be? But I will tell you this. It's created by the guy that did Playmakers. If you know the show, it was a show on ESPN. I don't want to go on and on about football video games, but I'm just going to say that if Playmakers is a pretty good show. It was on ESPN. It was a weekly drama. It was an episodic drama about football, about a professional football team, and about drug use, and about infidelity, and about run-ins with the law, and a whole lot of negative stuff about the players. The NFL didn't appreciate it, and they threatened to ESPN with pulling their license to air the games if they continued with this kind of programming. And so ESPN withdrew it. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, what happened to free speech? There's nothing has happened to free speech. You are free to say whatever you want. And the NFL is free to say, we don't want to do business with you. That's free speech, too. And so is there a symbiosis there between money and the, you know, the games that we play? Obviously there is. So this guy who did that, then he went over to this game, this Blitz Playmakers, and has now created a game that is going to allow people to view a football league, an NFL, that or professional football that the NFL won't let you see, which is guys out there gouging each other's eyes out with grapefruit spoons, kicking each other in the Royal American, machine gunning each other on the field, who knows, pulling out a piece, blasting away on some guy while he's running for a touchdown. Blitz Playmaker. I bet you the thing is going to go over like the XFL did. Remember how that was going to be the next big thing? People want to see football where it's just like in your face. Yeah, but they also want to make sure that it's actually real. We can take this reality TV thing to the point where it ain't real anymore. The XFL. Good idea. And I'll never forget when they had the team here in L.A. The general manager of that team, I think, was this guy McKay. I think he's with the famous McKay football family. And I said on the air, I said, you know, you guys, why don't you guys do something for yourselves? Why don't you give out some free tickets? Give me a bunch of free tickets. I'll give them away on the air. We'll talk up the team. You know, we'll do things. And they didn't get it. They didn't market the team. They didn't market the league. And on top of that, when you take your kid to a football game, I got no problem with a chick in a hot tub and no top on. In fact, I think it's pretty nice. I think it's what makes this country one of the great places it is to live in. Except if I got my kid with me. You'll pardon me. And people were taking their kids out to the Coliseum to see this team, and they had two babes in a hot tub with, like, nothing on. So naturally, I told my kids to go sit in the car for 3 hours. Anyway, that's dead and buried, but not to be forgotten. And so we're going to have probably the way things are going with me right now in my life. You know, I'm still living up at the beach. I can't get enough of video gaming. I might as well go out and get this Blitz Playmakers, too. All I do is go home and play video games now. And I'm going to go to the Christmas party, and I picked up a new car.
You did? What kind did you get?
Well, I ain't going to say on the air, bud.
Come on, man. Tell me. Give me a hint. What's it start with?
No, it starts with a J.
Jeep?
Nope.
It's the only one I can think of.
Think again, man.
It's June bug. A jackass.
That's it. I got the brand new 2005 Jackass. Way to go.
You did?
Yes, bud. That's what I got. I got a 2005 convertible Jackass, the Yeehaw model.
Fantastic.
It ain't got horsepower, it's got mule power.
How many mules?
Oh, about 600 mule power, man. So when I picked that thing up today, and I parked it downstairs, and I'm like every other guy that bought a new car. I'm telling the guys that are parking the car, I said, would you guys please be very, very careful with the car? I'll tip you really heavy at the end of the month. Please, dear God, please, please don't mess my car up. And the guys are real cool about it. And, of course, there I am. I'm riding a new car, and I'm driving on the road, and I'm thinking, here I am. I'm living by myself. I'm up at the beach. I guess I'm a bachelor. I'm a bachelor.
Well, boo-hoo.
I'm going to belt you as far as I can. What are you playing this for, bud?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's another Christmas and Phil's alone.
Maybe it's much too early in the game.
Quit it, bud, will you? I get sentimental.
No, no, no. Folks, if you're a single woman out there,
if you start that, man, I'm going to kick your ass around the block.
What are you doing?
Turn that crap off. I don't want to hear it. There I am driving down the road in my brand new car, and I'm thinking, oh, man. Christmas time, hell of a time for you to be having, oh, I don't know what we want to call it. I don't want to call it marital strife. I'd say it's a difficulties, you know, where you think about a woman who has been. What are you doing now, bud?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we continue with the saga of Phil Hendry.
Cut it out, man.
Oh, are you going to, are you tearing up?
Well, that song makes me a little sentimental. It reminds me of the days of yore.
Of your what?
What do you mean, of your what?
The morning sun. At
feel you touch. Turn it off, man.
And I feel you touch my thing in the middle of the night. Wasn't this your wedding song?
No, this wasn't our wedding song.
What was your wedding song?
I don't know, man. I think it was some Eric Clapton song.
Cocaine?
No, it wasn't cocaine. Turn it off, man. Yeah, that's right. No, it was that Clapton song. It was, what was it? Wonderful, not Wonderful Tonight, but, God, I forget, man. It was popular when we got married, 1997, or thereabouts.
Layla.
No, it wasn't Layla.
Bell Bottom Blues.
Can you imagine me walking down the aisle with my wife to Bell Bottom Blues?
I Feel Free.
No, wouldn't I Feel Free?
Oh, I know what it was.
What?
I Shot the Sheriff.
You know the dog. Turn that crap off!
Phil Henry Show will be back right after Phil blows his nose. Ow! You're my savior when I fall.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 2 feet shorter than models. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now Public Television presents Fooling Around with Dad's Guns and Brian Worsham. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Fooling Around with Dad's Guns. How are you doing? That's great. You look great, huh? Today we're going to go into the old den here, the wood panel den where Dad has his desk, and he's got all of his books. Let's see if we can get into that gun case, shall we? Okay. Everybody looking good today? Great, great. A lot of great selection of guns to look at. Here's a couple of World War II era carbines here, and there's some automatics, 9mm in there, too. I love that Glock, huh? Do you like that plastic casing on that? Hey, what do you say we pull that out? You want to try to get that? Okay, let's do that. Or the first thing you want to do when you're fooling around with Dad's guns, remember, it's always very, very irresponsible to make sure you go through his desk. And that is to go through his personal effects, papers, and so on and so forth, and see if you can find a key. Remember, fooling around with your father's guns means irresponsibility. That's the first thing you want to do. Okay. Oh, look at that. Look at that. You had it right in the top drawer. Here's a key. All right, we're going to go ahead and unlock that. Now, the next thing you want to do is make sure you look around for some ammunition. Or a really great thing to do is to take the gun and look down the barrel, like I'm doing right now. Here's a 9mm. Now I'm going to stare right down the barrel, and let's just go ahead and squeeze the trigger. Brian Worsham's Fooling Around with Dad's Guns. Brought to you by Harrison Frank and other fine meats. That's cool. Is he going to be on next week, bud?
Yeah, we'll have him back again. If he recovers.
Right. Well, you can just get another host. That's Brian Worsham's Fooling Around with Dad's Guns, and that was the bit you were waiting for all night, huh? Well, it just went like that, man. See, there's one thing about teasing it, it's another thing about doing it. 1-800-449-8686. Tomorrow night's going to be Clara Bingham on the 23rd. It's our all-request show. Now, we have a system in place whereby we are collating and compiling and logging all of the requests that are coming into us. Mr. Pelton assures me that he has a system in place. I haven't checked on it, but I pray to God. I pray to the Jesus. I'll turn Christian if we can have a good all-request show. I will turn away from Satan, and I'll go full on Jesus if you just, Pelton, get this done. How you doing, man? So, in other words, and we got a lot, so I don't know what we're talking about. We can do the stuff from our CDs, whatever system we have in place. The people are going to be calling in, and they're going to be requesting these bits. And we're going to have to be able to access those as quickly as we can. So if we can maybe move something into position, what do you do, Mark? Is the CD rack behind you? then you just have to kind of grab it and put it on there. So that'll be on the 23rd, all requests, and it's a call-in show. And we're kind of proud of that because we're not too sure if there's a talk show in the history of Mortal Man that's ever done requests. I don't think there is. First we did a countdown show, now we're doing requests. I might even do dedications. How about that? Let's say your marriage has fallen apart, and you want to dedicate not a song, but a comedy bit. Phil, I've lost my wife. I don't know where she is. Last time I saw her, she was dancing with a large African-American with sleeved-up tattoos. And I just wanted to know I love her. Could you please play the bit where Margaret has a bowel movement that smells so bad it just completely evacuates three blocks? I certainly will, sir. I'm Casey Kasem. You know, something like that. I know it'll bring her back into my life if you'll just play that bit. Well, we'll try and do that. Maybe we'll do dedicate. We'll do love dedications, whatever. We'll milk this thing for all it's worth. So on the 23rd of December, the other question is very frequently asked, will we do a signing around the release of our CD? The answer to that question is yes, of course. We will do a signing. We're going to do at least one, possibly more. And we will, have you guys come out, buy the CD, we'll autograph it for you, and again, all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And great kudos to the guys over there who do all of that fine work.
You're going to get the Peabody Award, ain't you?
No, I'm not going to get it, man. Those guys are going to try to get me nominated for it. How many times am I going to tell you that? What am I even talking to you about this for? And why are you in here? Why don't you go and get me another Starbucks, huh?
You told everybody it's Mr. Peabody.
I told you it was Mr. Peabody because you're too stupid to understand who George Foster Peabody is. He says to me last night, you're getting the Peabody Award. I go, yeah, Mr. Peabody? Right. That's what it is, dude. And anyway, and the likelihood of me getting nominated for a Peabody is about the same as you growing back that piece of skull you left in that tree up in Ojai. Like, it ain't going to happen, man. But you know what? God bless him for trying. Only guys that win Peabody's, man, are straight down the middle. You know what I'm saying? Are the real traditional kind of cats. They're going to be good. When I was at WCCO in Minneapolis, I'll never forget. Hi.
And now it's time for a commercial.
What are you talking about?
Because this is going to get dull.
Turn that off. When I was up there at WCCO in Minneapolis, they had all those Peabody's hanging off the wall. And then they had that guy, what's his face, that Charles Osgood come in and do a show, and he looked at me and listened to me, and I thought Charles Osgood's bow tie was going to start twirling around, man, like one of those pinwheels on the 4th of July. His eyes went buggy, his one hair stood up on end, and his bow tie went around like a freaking pinwheel. He's going, what is this? And, and I said, well, hi, Mr. Osgood, and he just went, They had all the Peabody Awards over there, and that station sucked. Still does. As far as I know, anyway.
Mr. Hall's on the phone.
Why is he on the phone now?
Because I called him.
What are you doing?
I'm talking on the air.
Well, Bud said it was boring.
Well, it was talking about getting the
Peabody. Oh, the Peabody Award! There you are going on and on about you. It's always about you, isn't it? I want to get a Peabody Award. Bud told me you were doing this last night.
Yeah, he also said I could grow part of my head back.
You say he could grow part of his head back?
I said the likelihood of me getting a Peabody was about like him growing part of his head back.
Well, you got that right. Look at Phil, I just want you to entertain the audience, not sit there and be self-indulgent about your chances of winning awards.
I brought it up twice. Two times.
Is that it, bud?
Well, he mentioned last night and again tonight.
Freaking squealer.
All right, well, look, hey, I want him to squeal. When you blow it, I want to know it. That's what I say. When Henry blows it, I know it.
I talked about it twice, last night and tonight.
Well, get off it. It's boring.
Yeah, I told Mr. Haas, boring.
Okay, I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
And tell Bud his head could grow back.
Your head could grow back, Bud.
Don't make me pull out that show monitor, Phil. I don't want to pull the show monitor out. When I got to pull that thing out, blood flows.
Oh, man, not the show monitor.
I think we ought to do it, Mr. Haas.
If I got to do it, I'll do it.
All right, okay, I'm not going to talk about it.
On second thought, Bud, get the show monitor.
Don't get that thing out.
Right away, Mr. Hall.
I'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. The freaking show monitor. They going to hook me up to that?
You heard what Mr. Hall said. You blew it. You're boring.
I'll talk about anything. I'll do anything. Please, don't hook me up to the show monitor.
Too late now.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Living on the edge, always teetering, never quite falling off.
A fascinating migration of him through the Central American plains and, of course, eventually into the South American rainforest. Man's culture reflects man's needs. Man's aboriginal lifestyle, if you will, reflected the nomad hunting-gathering nature of man. And I...
Dr. Walker, I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir.
I'm in the middle of a broadcast.
I'm sorry, sir. We have members of the FCC here to watch the show, make sure it's not crude or profane. Do you mind if they drink milkshakes while...
Do I mind if they drink milkshakes while they're watching the show? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
No, I guess not.
All right, sir.
It's very unusual for them to interrupt me. I'm very sorry. In any event, in the year 10,000 B.C., it seems that there are people who are...
God, man, you can't beat that Jerry's Deli, huh?
Are you finished?
I got a little bit at the bottom, but I can wait.
Man first migrated to what are called the burial mounds, now currently seen in Missouri, in the site of quite an archaeological dig. I find it fascinating.
Yeah, man.
The Migration of Man, Part 3 in your Community College Manual. Brought to you by
the Mobile Corporation.
Pretty good. That was pretty funny, huh, bud?
Oh, I love Dr. Bernard Walker. He's funny.
Okay, bud, you got the show editor?
No, wait a minute, guys. You can't hook me up.
Now, that's what I call funny. Let's see if you can talk back. Hook him up, bud.
Put out your right arm.
Don't talk to me like I'm some junkie. I'll put my right arm out when I feel like it.
Get out there. All right, it's working, Mr. Hall.
You hear that sound?
Yes.
That means the show's interesting. When you start talking, as long as we hear that sound, the show is interesting to people. But if you hear this sound, hit switch B, bus 4, bud.
Got it. Switch B, bus 4. Roger.
There. You hear that sound?
Yes, it means I'm dull.
It means you're deadly dull. It means people are dying, asphyxiating, blood pressure's dropping all over America, cars are careening off of freeways. You understand? That's how vital it is that you remain interesting for the next few minutes.
I understand, sir.
All right. Go ahead, bud. Switch it over to Active Module 4, Sector B.
Will you just throw that switch there?
You got it, Mr. Ho.
All right, good. Go ahead, Phil. Do it a bit.
Anyway, I was going to talk to you guys a little bit about, you know, it's interesting. Years ago, when I lived at the...
Oh, man.
It didn't take long for that one, did it?
Well, start talking.
Years ago, I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about the fact that when I was at... What is it?
Come on, go.
Be interesting, you're sucking. Years ago, when I was talking to some friends of mine, and I felt it was really important that... What the...
What are you talking about?
Why do you guys keep throwing that switch?
He's deadly dull, Mr. Hall. People are dying.
People are dying! You have the blood of innocent people on your hands!
Turn it off. Both of you get lost.
Me too?
Yeah,
you too.
Me too?
Yeah, you too. Get out of here, bud.
But I'm the boss, like...
Shut up.
Sorry.
Yeah. No.
I'm just kidding.
Don't do it, man. Don't go near it, bud. All right. The migration of man, huh? Do you mind if members of the FCC suck milkshakes while you're doing your show? No, not at all, sir. What the hell? All right, it's the Phil Henry Show here. Thank you very much, bud, for screwing the show up once again tonight, man. One of these days, I'm just going to have the courage to lock that door. Just lock the door. That's what I say. Always have the courage to lock the door, man. You're never really going to be in doubt then. 1-800-449-8686. Motley Crue singer Vince Neil is accused of knocking out an employee of a Dallas nightclub after a disagreement over sound levels during a concert. An arrest warrant for misdemeanor assault was issued Wednesday for Vince Neil in the fight at Gillies, Dallas during an October 30th show. Gillies sound man Michael Talbert was knocked unconscious by a punch allegedly thrown by Neil that pushed him to the floor. A CAT scan showed a mild concussion. According to a police report attached to the warrant, the singer motioned for more guitar volume, but bolted across the stage as Talbert adjusted it. The affidavit said Neil jumped onto the soundboard, kicked at Talbert, then punched him in the face. The soundman was knocked unconscious for about 45 seconds. What is it with this band? You like these guys, Chris. What is wrong with these guys? Don't they understand that you know...
They need keepers, dude.
Well, no, they don't need keepers. This is all for effect. These guys aren't really bad boys. They put this stuff on for effect. I remember that tour that they did. When was it? That big tour, that big comeback tour? And they were busting crap up in hotel rooms and all that stuff.
Yeah, the Generation Swine Tour.
Yeah, those cats, you know, it's like anybody could tell. No guys that are that successful, and that calculatingly successful, because you know that Nikki Sixx ain't stupid. Okay, he ain't a stupid man. He knows what's going on with that band, morning, noon, and night. All this crap is calculated, typical 80s bad boy stuff. It's over. It's over. Police have given the 43-year-old singer a criminal trespass warning. 43. Not 23.
I saw him in the hallway the other day, and Vince Neil was wearing penny loafers.
Yeah, I saw him. No, that wasn't Vince Neil. That was Nikki Sixx, wasn't it? That was over here? With his big hair and his freaking soul patch. I wanted to say to the guy, ooh, are you Satan? Why don't you cats get a clue from all the other bands and, like, die of a heroin overdose? I'm joking. I don't mean that. But this punching people out is strictly for the birds. Baby. That guy's going to wind up suing your ass, and you're going to owe all kinds of money. Motley Crue members have announced a reunion tour that will bring the band to Nokia Theater in Grand Prairie. Well, shut my mouth. They're playing some big halls now, man. Dallas police and prosecutors said if Neil doesn't contact them about the warrant, they'll probably wait to act on it when he returns to the area. They've given the 43-year-old singer a criminal trespass warning before he left the club and headed to Houston for a Halloween show. There you go. Motley Crue. Now, what's up with that guy Tommy? Ain't he back with his wife? Victoria, Pamela, what's your
name? No, they're not back
together. They're not back together again?
Just the band is all back together.
Who's she hanging out with now?
She keeps
getting skankier and scuzzier, huh? She goes from him to that other guy.
Kid Rock.
Kid Rock, and who's next?
She's a professional surfer.
Who's that dude that got run over by the train? El Duce. I bet you if he was alive, she'd hook up with him. I got all kinds of mail when we mentioned El Duce of the, what was the band? The Slobs or
the
something?
The Mentors.
The Mentors. I said, well, it sounds to me like a real piece of crap. Oh, these guys, you should read his lyrics. Look, man, I get it about lyrics being shocking, and I get it about lyrics being ironic, and I get it about them being satiric, and I get it about them being funny, okay? Just because you don't bathe and there's flies buzzing around your ass end as you walk from one end of this earth to the next on every given day doesn't make you some kind of a genius. And this guy, El Duce, apparently he, I don't think the guy had ever changed his undershirt. So what happens to this guy? Turns out he's on this TV show or this movie where he says, yeah, Courtney Love contacted me about killing her husband, Kurt Cobain, right? After he's on this movie, guess what? Well, he winds up about 260 pounds of ground pork out on a railroad track someplace. Somebody made him, dead. The world of rock and roll is a vicious world. Stay away from it. I'm Tommy Lee for Dragnet. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're all done for tonight. I can't think of anything else. Can you, bud?
No, I can't, other than the fact that you really need to do a better job.
Thank you very much. All right, we'll see you tomorrow night. And don't forget our all-request show, the 23rd. And, of course, keep those emails coming in to phs@philhenryshow.com. Tomorrow night, it's Clara Bingham. We had her husband on tonight, the Reverend Pastor William Rennick. Tomorrow night, Clara. All of the gifts in our souvenir shop are perfect for the holiday shopping season. I really suggest you visit the Phil Hendry Show souvenir shop sooner rather than later. The turnaround is great. The prices, I think, are great for the quality of the product you get. We got coffee mugs. We got beautiful bathrobes and spa robes and shirts. And we got a crew neck shirt. We got ball caps. We got shot glasses. We got it all, man. It's right there on the Phil Hendry Show website, www.philhendryshow.com.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Relocating the edge and jumping over.